2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars.
This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. House band of the day, 311, as Jeremy just goes through his pics of his childhood. Is that what's going on here? Yes.
Today it was.
Okay with it because we went to school at the same time. So I'm like, it's all good.
Never heard of him.
I know you haven't. Again, it's the blind spot Scott had while he was in the NFL. That's fine. Brought to you by LiveNation.com. There's your house band of the day, 311. Man,
that's really the name of a band.
Yes, 311. I can picture.
Wow.
I can picture that like stylized graffiti 311 in my head, like that. You know, the look of their albums. So, all right, awesome day for college football fans across the South and East. Well, all over the country now that the Big 12 basically covers every time zone, save the Pacific time zone. But we are excited about this one because the college football or the Big 12 schedule dropped. And, of course, helping us understand a little bit more of this one from CBS Sports. He covers college football. Shehan Jeharaja joining us on the program. What's going on, Shehan?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
First reaction, when this thing dropped, is there anything wild on this schedule that stands out? I mean, I know it's a lot. I think that's the reason that it took a while is because it's a lot. 14 teams to schedule and to try to stick it to Texas and Oklahoma all at the same time. It's a tall task.
Yeah, you know, it definitely took, I think, a little longer than people expected. Back when we talked to Brett Yormark at the Big 12 title game, he said that he hoped to have the schedule out in the middle or late December, but I do think that there were just so many moving parts. And remember, through all of this, you know, the Big 12 has to kind of keep in mind a general sort of scheduling premise that it wants to maintain heading forward. You know, this is for at least the next year, this is going to be a 14-team league, potentially up to 2 years. And so I think that there were just a lot of moving parts. And so, like you said, whenever it finally did come out, it was kind of like a massive information. But I do think that that ultimately, you know, I think they did a good job of sort of balancing these schedules. And I'm really excited to get to see these new four additions in the league.
So back to Alex's original comment, we get it. They're trying to balance it out. They're trying to play nice. But come on, did they stick it to Texas and Oklahoma? That's what we want to know.
I don't think that they especially stuck it to Texas and Oklahoma. You know, Texas, I think, finishes the year pretty tough. But, you know, overall, I think that these schedules are pretty balanced. And here's the thing, too. I mean, when you look at the Big 12 heading into 2023, I mean, out of the 14 teams in the league, I believe it's 12 teams were bowl teams last year. So I don't think that there's an easy schedule to be found anywhere. But I also don't think that there's necessarily one where a team maybe got screwed as much as another. The one thing that that Texas probably got to their advantage is that they don't have to leave the state all that much. But part of that, you know, we kind of see down here in Texas, all of the Texas schools are going to be playing each other at least one more go round. You know, and that's maybe something that I expected. But, you know, I think that trying to get all those pieces working together definitely makes things just a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I think people look and they go, you can have a beef with something on the schedule here and there. I know some people, I think Oklahoma State was like, no Texas, that's lame, you know, because if this is potentially their last year in the league and we don't get to play Texas again, then I don't know, maybe they don't like them enough to be able to get there. But I think for a team like BYU and obviously Houston, Central Florida, and Cincinnati, eyes are wide for fan bases now because they got the schedule. It feels more tangible. But we were also talking about managing expectations. Out of those four, who performs the best next year in their very first go in the Big 12?
It's a great question. And I think that, you know, the big thing that you have to look at, I think that when you're looking at the state of the four teams, I like where BYU is positioned the best. I think that they've got a staff that they like. I think that they've recruited at a really high level. I think that they have probably as good an identity as any of the teams. But, you know, I think that obviously you have to look at that they're transitioning through a quarterback, Jaren Hall heading to the draft and a couple other great players. So, you know, I think that they're going to have a great chance. Cincinnati is a big question mark for me after losing Luke Fickell. They're a very talented roster, but Scott Satterfield obviously stepping into a new situation and kind of trying to replace some of the big pieces. I think that's going to be a big question mark. UCF is probably the team last year that was the best of the group, but, you know, similar sort of deal. You know, they kind of faded down the stretch. They didn't necessarily have an amazing season. And Houston was really supposed to have sort of that breakout season in 2022, and it didn't happen. So, you know, when I look at program health, I think that probably BYU is probably the program that's healthiest heading into the league. In terms of in year one, though, I probably think that with what UCF has coming back, that's probably the team to beat right now.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
So of the teams that are already there, I think it was maybe a bit of a surprise that TCU actually had the season they had.
Well, that top four was kind of a weird order.
Yeah, it was just kind of an interesting thing. Who is the team to beat in the conference? Who's gonna win the conference?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, this is one of the toughest years to figure that out that there's been in a very long time, because I look at the two teams that were in the title game last year, TCU and Kansas State, and I would be pretty surprised if both of them are back just because of how much each of those teams are losing. TCU loses quarterback Max Duggan, wide receiver Quentin Johnston, the Thorpe Award winner and Travis Hodges Tomlinson, and All-American offensive lineman and Steve Avila. And similar deal when you look at Kansas State. Deuce Vaughn is off to the NFL. You know, they're going to be breaking in some new receivers. They're going to lose the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year in Felix Anadike Uzomah. So I think that those two teams are starting a little bit behind the eight ball. You know, when I look at the league right now, I think that the team that probably has a small advantage heading into the year probably is Texas. I think that, you know, they bring back a lot of their production on both sides of the ball. I think that Quinn Ewers in the second season is poised to improve. Adding A.D. Mitchell, a wide receiver from Georgia, I think will only help. But, you know, I don't think that their advantage is by any means dominant. You know, the last couple of years, we've had a team that's been picked fifth or lower in the conference come through and have a chance to play in the title game. And I absolutely think that'll be the case again this year. I think there will be a team to break out. And, you know, when I look down the board again, you know, could it be UCF? I think that that's definitely possible. Could it be a team like Texas Tech? They really finished the year strong with a bowl victory over Ole Miss in the Texas Bowl. You know, they would definitely be a surprise, but I think that this year is in for surprises. So right now, I think that the early leader in the clubhouse is Texas, but it is by no means a dominant number one right now.
You know, here locally, you know, just over 10 years ago, we were watching Utah with their invite to the Pac-12 and how long that took for them to get not one but two Pac-12 championships, I think was, you know, remarkable to be able to in a decade. Well, and even way less than a decade to be competitive in the league. How long does a league like this take to be competitive, especially for teams like even Houston and Cincinnati that have, you know, pretty good recruiting overall, but BYU and UCF who, you know, are going to admittedly have to build themselves up to that level before they can start competing. So what's an expectation for teams to be able to come in and start to be competitive? Because I know that's the biggest question that BYU fans have is like, when can we start to look and be competitive in this conference?
No, it's a really good question. And, you know, to answer it, I'd look at TCU, right? TCU entered the Big 12 back in 2012 as well. By 2014, they were competitive for the Big 12 championship. But to make that happen, they had to completely transform what they were. They weren't sort of this pro-style ball control team anymore under Gary Patterson. They had to evolve with the times and bring in Trevon Boykin at quarterback and bring in a really dynamic offense. And, you know, even then, you know, it was kind of a short stint at the top of the conference, and then they were kind of cycled back through too. The nice thing about the Big 12 right now for anybody is that there is not a dominant team, especially when Texas and Oklahoma leave. There is no obvious Goliath to get over the hump. So I do think that makes the path just a little bit easier. But, you know, when you talk about competing year in and year out for the conference, I do think that it often takes about 3 to 5 years before you really find your rhythm, not just because you need to sort of build things up from a recruiting and talent perspective, although that's a big part of it, but also because I think that it takes a minute for a school to really build their identity within a conference. And BYU's in an interesting position because they've been an independent for so long. And, you know, so they've kind of created a version of themselves that can do a little bit of everything. Well, I think that sometimes when you are in a conference and you play the same teams year in and year out, you have to, I think, kind of pick a lane in some ways. And so I'm fully confident that Kalani Sitake will do it. The other thing that I think that BYU has going for it relative to other teams that are joining conferences is that, you know, they've played numerous Power 5 teams every single year for the past couple of years, especially under the staff, and had a lot of success, and obviously beating Baylor last year is among that. And so I think that the jump won't be quite as high for them as maybe it is for some other teams. So I think, though, that in terms of consistent competitiveness and really finding your place in the conference, I think 3 to 5 years is about right.
You know, it'll certainly be fun to watch for BYU fans to just see if, you know, what you've said is accurate. You know, that's been a lot of the talk here, just that independent schedule's kind of giving them a little bit of a leg up on making that transition. I'm kind of curious about Oklahoma. You know, where are they? They seemed to fall off last year. Are they going to be competitive, or, you know, what's the state of Oklahoma?
Yeah, they're one of the most fascinating teams, I think, in the country heading into next year, because, you know, any stats that you pull up about Brent Venables' first season basically has to be introduced with the phrase "worst since 1998, which was the year before Bob Stoops was hired. They had their first losing record in conference since then. They had their first losing record overall. Everything kind of collapsed in the first year of the Brent Venables era. And, you know, some Oklahoma people tell you that the things were atrophying a little bit in the final years of Lincoln Riley. But the reality is, you know, the year before he left, he won, you know, 10 games and then left for USC. So I think that for them, they're really struggling and to try and figure out what their identity is and who they want to be long term. Obviously, their focus is bigger than this one season. They're trying to get themselves ready for the SEC. They're trying to be ready to be nationally competitive in the expanded college football playoff. But, you know, heading into 2023, they are really relying heavily on the transfer portal to bring some immediate success. They have a great high school recruiting class coming in as well, but, you know, they have a lot of holes to fill. And we saw last season, you know, this was a shallow team. This was a really shallow team. When Dylan Gabriel went out at quarterback, you saw that this team really had nothing else to offer. And with running back Eric Gray and wide receiver Marvin Mims off to the NFL, you know, this is just not an especially dynamic team, and that's going to have to change heading into 2023. So I think this is a little bit of a rebuilding year for them still. You know, I'd almost compare it to, I feel like they're a step behind timeline-wise to where Texas was maybe a year ago. And so I think that you are looking at Oklahoma being an 8 or 9 win team, being really competitive, still having some warts, and maybe the year after that in 2024, you start to see them pushing for 10 wins again.
Shihan Jeharaja joining us on the program, college football, national college football writer for CBS Sports, and does a fantastic job breaking down this schedule release. Settle something for us, though, before we get to the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks. Is Jalen Hurts a Big 12 quarterback, or is he an SEC quarterback? Then we can look at it, because everybody's claiming him right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. Well, look, I think that Alabama fans have every right to claim him, to be clear. Like, he started for multiple years there. You know, it's not like a Joe Burrow Ohio State situation where he didn't even really play there. But the reality is, watch him play today. The player that played at Alabama is not the player that's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. It was the one that developed under Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. So I think that, for me, he's pretty clearly, you know, if you have to pick one, a Big 12 quarterback, an Oklahoma Lincoln Riley quarterback. But again, that doesn't mean that Alabama can't claim him. It's just you got to watch the game.
We appreciate it. Shihan Jeharaja, you can follow him on Twitter. Find his byline there, CBS Sports. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll chat again. I hope you make it out to Provo this year.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, you bet. All right, there you go. Let's take the break here. Hey, when we come back, should we play that message from T. Boone Pickens? I thought that was nice of Oklahoma State. I know he's since passed, but they were able to, through AI and through, you know, just planning, they were able to figure out a nice message from the dearly departed T. Boone Pickens from Oklahoma State, plus other folks who've been leaving nice messages with BYU today as well. All that coming up, more to go around the corner. Before we do, though, RGS Exteriors can help you give that look to your home. If you want to not keep up with the Joneses, you got to be the Joneses. Let's go. Get that stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding, and that new look for this year by giving them a call, 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors. We'll take the break here. What are the odds is next? Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.